Blog Talk Radio.
My life and times, my heart and
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Daraal, the Beth Yahweh Congregation. Before we get started, as always, I encourage all who are in attendance to get your study tools, your Bible, your pens, your highlighters, your notepads, your iPads, your concordance, your Bible dictionary, and all those items that you may need to conduct a good study. As we've been talking for the past few weeks, last week we had technical difficulties. As a result, everyone had an opportunity to possibly go over the previous lessons and, you know, just to refresh yourself or, you know, enjoy some time with your family and enjoy the Sabbath. But we're going to start off with, you know, we're going to rekindle or, you know, resume the study as far as acceptance is concerned. Tonight's lesson is going to be on the power of acceptance. Because one of the things that we have to realize that we have to accept Yahushua. We have to accept the Torah. We have to accept the Father. And we have to ultimately believe in the Father and in the Son and in the Torah. Because once we do that, then everything that we read and we study will come to life. Because as we know and learned over the years, that the Word is living. But before we get into the lesson for the night, we're going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father Yah, for allowing us to come together on this evening in honor of the Sabbath. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen Israel, strengthen our elders, strengthen our youth, strengthen all those who are in need of comfort, who are in need of anything. For you know what we need. You know what we desire, but ultimately, Father, we want your love. Father, we ask of thee to continue to open our minds to receive the wonders of your word, to receive your love, to receive your guidance through thy Son, Yahushua, through thy laws, thy statutes, and thy judgment. We ask of thee, Father, to open our ears so that we can hear your living word being spoken to us through the various men and women and prophets in whom you've chosen. Father, we thank thee for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor. For it is you who have allowed us to come to this moment. May we continue to give you the praise that you deserve so that we can continue to show the light of thy Son, Yahushua, in this darkened world. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about the power of acceptance. I'm going to start off with a few scriptures before we get into it, just to understand what the Father has done throughout the scriptures with his people. We know that he dealt with many men throughout life or humanity. In the beginning, he dealt with one individual, and that one individual lived his life according to what was being said to him, and he ministered to the people. And it trickled down to different men. But ultimately, when he spoke to Israel as a nation, he gave many men an opportunity to hear his voice and to understand what he wants from them. So I'm going to start off in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to go down to verse 45 to 48. And one of the reasons why I went here is because we have to understand why we are accepting the things that we are accepting. Because the Father has made a promise to us, and he speaks to us. And Yahweh Elohim spoke to us and told us some things. And he wanted us to obey. And he also gave us stipulations, just like he did all the previous men before us. So we have no excuse when we read the Torah, when we read the words of the prophets, when we read the words of forefathers that have been recorded for our learning. As Paul say, everything that was written before time was written for our learning. And this particular chapter in Deuteronomy is talking about the curses, and Moses is speaking. And I'll start off with, like I said, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it reads, "It shall happen, if you shall listen diligently to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yahweh your Elohim will set you on high above all the nations of the earth." Going back to one of the things that when we read in the scriptures, he's always telling us to observe and do the commandments. Obey the law, statutes, and judgments. Obey them. Obey them. Because when you obey them, you get the rewards of obeying them. But when you don't obey them, you get the consequences of not obeying. So we're going to go to verse 45 now, and I'm going to read 45 to 48. And it reads, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, to you, till thou art destroyed, because thou hearken not to the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou did not serve Yahweh thy Elohim with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thy enemies, which Yahweh shall send against thee, and hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in what of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy necks until he has destroyed thee." These are the results of not being obedient. So then when we, as Israel, sit back and say, why are we in this state? Why are we in this state? Why are we in this state? We're in this state because of disobedience, because of the lack of listening, the lack of doing, the lack of acceptance of Yahweh's word. From here, we're going to go to Psalms 97, verse 10. And it reads, "You, who love Yahweh, hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. How does he do that? By his law, statutes, and judgments. That's how we show the Father that we love him, by being obedient. And when we be obedient, what do? We have those shields. We have those hedges around us, which prevents the adversary from dealing with us. Why? Because we're being obedient. We have a story in the scriptures in regards to that, when we talk about the story of Job. See, the adversary went to him and said, you know, the Most High even went to the adversary and said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, no, you have a hedge around him. See, that's what we get when we be obedient. We get that hedge. We get that protection. You know, we get the adversary wanting to mess with us, but he realized that he can't. Why? Because we have that hedge. And why do we have that hedge? Because we're being obedient, and we're showing the Father that we love him. And because we're showing him that we love him, he shows us that he loves us also. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 14 to 15. Your renown went forth among the nations for your beauty, for it was perfect through my majesty, which I had put on you, saith Yahweh Elohim. But you trusted in your beauty and played the prostitute because of my renown, and poured out your prostitution on everyone who passed by. Here's it was. So, in Ezekiel, this is talking about Israel, how Israel was, you know, down in the dumps. Israel was dirty. Israel was, you know, lack of a better term, Israel was a bum. But the Most High cleaned Israel up. And Israel got big-headed and thought that she could do whatever she wanted to do because of her beauty. She thought it was hers, but it was not hers. It was the Most High giving it to her. Israel didn't humble herself. So when we don't humble ourselves, we're subject to the works of the adversary. And I'm just going through some of these scriptures. The scriptures that I'm talking about is actually understanding the state of Israel as a whole. And you can also look at them as individually. Because we have to check ourselves first before we can help another. So when we deal with this power of acceptance, when I get to the scripture, you'll understand where I'm coming from. So we're going to go to James chapter 4, verse 4, and it reads, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that the friendship with the world is enemy with Yah? Whosoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Yah. So as we seen earlier, Israel played the prostitute to the world, taking on the ways of the world, worshiping in the ways of the world, mingling the ways of the world within Israel. But no, that's not what the Father wants. The Father wants complete obedience to him. He wants Israel to be his and only his. From here, we're going to go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And it reads, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So regardless of where we are in our walk, we've all fallen short. And we're reaching and we're striving to get the glory of God. And how do we do that? By staying in His laws, statutes, and judgment, and taking on the spirit of Yahushua. For we know that Yah loves Yahushua. For Yah so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son for us. And He laid His life down for us so that we can live in the kingdom and have everlasting life. But we first have to accept that there is a kingdom that we're going to. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 and 5. And it reads, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you have no participation in her sin, and that you do not receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to the sky, and Elohim has remembered her iniquities." I went here because even though we have fallen short of the glory of Yah, He's still calling Israel out. He's calling them out. And see, and that's where that acceptance come in. See, because you're accepting it, you're hearing it. Why? Because you heard Him speak before at Mount Sinai through our forefathers. And He's calling you out again. He's calling you. So that you can be with Him once again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 22. And verse 20 to 22. And it reads, "You have an anointing from the Mighty One, and you all have knowledge. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Yahushua is the Messiah? This is the anti-Messiah, he who denies the Father and the Son." So when we accept Yahushua as our Messiah, we know that we're going to be given the truth. Because Yahushua said, "I come in my Father's name." So when we know Yahushua, we also know who the Father is. Why? Because He came and He declared the Father. So that's how we know of the Father, through Him. So now we're going to get into those were just a few scriptures to set this up. So now we're going to get into the lesson for the evening. And this is dealing with the power of acceptance. We're going to go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And it reads, "God gave the Holy Spirit and power to Yahushua from Nazareth. He was with Yahushua as He went around doing good and healing. Everyone who was under the power of the devil." Read that again. "God gave the Holy Spirit and power to Yahushua from Nazareth. He was with Yahushua as he went around doing good and healing everyone who was under the power of the devil. And in this scripture, I looked up the word power. And that is 1411 in your Greek lexicon. And the word is dunamis. And the definition for it is, it has in parentheses, miraculous, power, might, and strength. So when we had that he had that Holy Spirit, that Ruach, and he had that power, that miraculous strength that was given to him through the power. And then I looked up the word power in the regular dictionary, and the word power had a couple definitions. And it had the ability to act or produce an effect. Possession of control, authority, or influence over others. Physical might. Political control or influence. I also looked the word up healing in this particular scripture, which is 2390. And that word is Iamonai. Iamonai. And it means heal. I heal, or generally of physical, sometimes of spiritual disease. So one of the things that when we accept, we get the ability to heal people physically and spiritually through that Holy Spirit. That's what it gives us. So when we have that power of the acceptance of Yahushua, that Holy Spirit gives us the power, or give us the influence, or give us the strength to change a person's behavior, to change a person's physical, to change a person's mental when we're dealing with them. But do we believe that? And some, you know, in the scriptures from here on out is going to be different examples of that spirit being on someone and they having the ability to heal. See, because that's what the problem with humanity is. Humanity is sick. Humanity has a disease, a dis-ease, as was brought out in one of the other teachings. About can it be that simple? See, when we cleave to Yahushua, when we cleave to being obedient, we get rid of the dis-ease. We get rid of the, we become functional. We get out of being dysfunctional. See, because humanity is in a state of dysfunction when they go contrary to the law, statutes, and judgments. But then people be in dysfunction so long that dysfunction becomes normal to them. And it's okay. But it's not okay, because we're going contrary to what the Father wants for us. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5. And it reads, surely he has been born of sickness and carried our suffering, yet we considered him a plague, struck by a mighty one, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought our peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We looked at word peace up the previous week. Let me see if I can find my notes. Because one of the definitions I read in regards to that peace. Maybe I wrote it back down on this paper. It was wholeness. You know, peace brings wholeness. Wholeness. And that wholeness is that completeness or that wholeness with the Father. So we're going to look up the word healed, which is 7495 in your Hebrew lexicon. And it is rapha. And it means to heal, cure, cause to heal, physician, repair, thoroughly, make whole. So this is another way that the Father makes us whole or makes us complete with Him, through the peace of mind and healing us, healing the wounds, healing the physical aspect of us, so that we can become whole. Healing our mental and healing our physical. Allowing the mental, the physical man, and the spiritual man to work together to be complete and to be connected with the Father. Be connected with His Word. So that He too can be a representative for Him on this earth. And one of the definitions that as we came across in regards to that word rapha or heal is cure. So I looked the word cure up, and it means relieve a person of the symptoms of a disease or a condition. So that Holy Spirit can give us what we need to change our condition. And how do we change that condition? As we say, being obedient, listening to that word, putting that word into practice, healing us through His word, for His word. We're going to go to Psalms 107, verse 19 and 20. And it reads, "Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He sends His word and heals them and delivers them from their grave." That's what He does. He uses His word to heal us, to cure us, to deliver us from death. He shouted, you know, we read earlier, "Come out of her, my people." He doesn't want us to partake of the world because the world's doomed. They're going to die. And He doesn't want Israel to die. He doesn't want His people to die. He wants them to live with Him, everlasting. Psalms 147, verse 2 and 3. And it reads, "Yahweh builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds their wounds." When you look up that, you know, the word binds up, it means to heal. Because when you're binding up a wound, you're tying it together so that it can mend together and heal quickly. Then I went to one of the apocryphal books, Ecclesiasticus, chapter 38, verse 1 to 3. You know, and one of the things that we read in regards to healing is dealing with a physician. And it says, honor a physician with the honor due unto him for the uses which he may have of him. For Yahweh hath created him. For of the Mighty One cometh healing. And he shall receive honor of the king. The skill of a physician shall lift up his head, and in the sight of great men, he shall be an admiration. So this is just talking about a physician, how it is his job to heal people. And this is a person that's healing people physically. However, we understand and know that there is the Most High who gives him the ability to do this. But we also have to realize that during this time, the physician was the priest. That was one of the tasks that the priest did. He healed the sick. Why? Because he was joined to the Most High. And that spirit gave him what he needed to assist and keep Israel healthy. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And it reads, the spirit of Yahweh Elohim is on me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and release to those who are bound. Just dealing with that, you know, that word bind up, you know, when you look it up, it means healing. So from here, we're going to go to John chapter 5, read verses 2 to 15. And this is just talking about, this is dealing with the Messiah and what he did in regards to healing. And it reads, now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep's Gate, there's a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda. And I looked that word up. Bethesda means house of goodness or kindness. Having five porches, and then these laid a great multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in it first, after the stirring of the water, was made whole. And whatever disease he had, a certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Yahushua saw him laying there and knew that he had been sick for a long time, he asked him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Yahushua said to him, arise, take up your mat and walk. Immediately the man was made well and took up his mat and walked. See, the spirit of Yahushua, the words of Yahushua talking to this man, and the man's belief in Yahushua gave him the power to get up and walk. And that's the same with us. do we believe that as Yahushua lives in us, that we have that same power? Do we believe? One of the things that Yahushua said to the disciples when he was walking with them, he said, ye with little faith. He with little faith. See, them brothers was walking with them. They experienced him, and they had little faith. So one of the things that we have to come to understand and realize that we have to have faith in this word. We have to have faith that we can accomplish the same things that our forefathers did. That as Yahushua lives within us, that we can too do the same things that he did. For it's through his spirit and his strength and his authority that we are doing these things. We're not trying to be like Israel that we read about earlier, that was doing things on their own account, thought they was doing things on their own merit. No. As believers in Yahushua, we understand, or we should understand, that the things that we do and accomplish are not by our will, but they're by the will of our Father through Yahushua, that we have been given the strength to do these things. Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 18 to 34. And it's just another account of, you know, the healing touch of Yahushua. And it reads, while he told these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. Yahushua got up and followed him, as did his disciples. Behold, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said within herself, if I just touch his garment, I will be made well. But Yahushua turned around and seeing her said, daughter, cheer up. Your faith have made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. When Yahushua came into the ruler's house and saw the flute player and the crowd in noisy disorder, he said to them, make room, because the girl isn't dead, but sleeping. They were ridiculing him, but when the crowd was put out, he entered in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. The report of this went out into all the land. As Yahushua passed by from there, two blind men followed him, calling out and saying, have mercy on us, son of David. When he has come into the house, the blind men came to him. Yahushua said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They told him, yes, Adonai. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done to you. Their eyes were opened. Yahushua strictly commanded them, saying, see that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread abroad his fame in all that land. As they went out, behold, a mute man who was demon-possessed was brought to him. When a demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. The multitude marveled, saying, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, by the prince of the demons, he cast out demons. So this is just another example of that spirit being being on him and giving him, and he had the power to heal. We're going to go to Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 10, and it reads, Acts chapter 20, verse 7 to 10. And it reads, on the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together to break bread, Paul, with them, intended to depart on the next day and continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper room where we were gathered together. A certain young man named Eutychus sat in the window. Now I apologize for butchering the gentleman's name. Weighed down with deep sleep. As Paul spoke still longer, being weighed down by his sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell upon him and embraced him, said, do not be troubled, for his life is in him. When he had gone up and had broken bread and eaten and had talked with them a long while, even until the break of day, he departed. They brought the boy in alive and were greatly comforted. And I went to this scripture just to, because Yahushua did the same thing. Yahushua did the same thing in regards to someone that was in a deep sleep and presumed dead. But when he touched them, life was put back into them. Understanding that spirit of Yahushua was on Paul, and he had the same ability to heal. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. And it reads, by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. None of the rest dared to join them. However, the people honored them. More believers were added to Adonai's multitude of both men and women. They even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mattresses so that as Peter came by, at the least his shadow might overshadow some of them. Multitudes also came together from the cities around Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And I went to this story because the Spirit was on Peter. And him going past them in his shadow was healing the people. See that spirit just emanating from him, you know, emanating. Do we believe we have that ability? Our faith has to be strengthened in Yahushua, in the Word. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And it reads, Elisha died, and they buried him. Then a band of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it happened, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band and they cast the man into the tomb of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. And I went to this scripture to let you know that Elisha had a double dose of the spirit of Elijah the prophet. And a man, dead man, fell on his bones. And the man was revived. Man stood up. Understanding that that spirit that was in Elisha was weighed down into his bones, his dead man's bones at that. The power of the spirit, as we say, we serve a living God, and that spirit is alive, and that spirit gives life. That spirit heals. So if we take those words that the Most High has given us through His Son, Yahushua, that He's given us through the prophets for our learning, and then we look at ourselves and check ourselves and be more selfless and less selfish, then we will become more and more and more like Yahushua. Because when Yahushua came to this earth, He came in the flesh to do the Father's will, to be obedient. And that's one of the things that we read and we get from the prophets. Be obedient. Acknowledge the promise that was given. Acknowledge the law's statutes and judgments. Acknowledge the commandments and keep them. For He understands that we are human and that we are subject to make mistakes. But He doesn't want us to make it our lifestyle of breaking His laws. Because if we make it our lifestyle to break His laws, as we read earlier in the curses, what's going to happen? If I constantly break the laws and I have children and they see me breaking the laws, then they start breaking the laws. And then that's where the cycle continues and continues and continues. But He gives us that opportunity to break the cycle, to heal ourselves. And how we do that is by believing and accepting His Son for what He has done for us. And practicing what His Son has done, and that is being obedient to the law, statutes, and judgments, to those guidelines that He has given for humanity to follow. We're going to be wrapping up in a few of my last two scriptures. But before I read those, I just want to reiterate the different stories that we read in regards to that Holy Spirit being in mankind and healing people of their infirmities, healing people from those things that are causing them to be separated from the Most High, sin, sinful ways, sinful practices. See, when we do the right thing, others see the right thing. As we read in the scriptures how others seen the works of Israel's God. Others seen that in Israel being obedient, that they was a wise and righteous people. As we read in the scriptures, it talks about the stranger that sojourns with you. That's everybody that's outside of Israel. But we have to be a good example for them so that they can see and want the wonders of Yah and want to have a relationship with Yahushua and want to keep the law, statutes, and judgments and want to serve the Most High with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. For that's what we're striving to do. And we have an example in Yahushua because that's what he did. He was obedient unto death. How do we do it now? As it's written, we become a living sacrifice. Living. Living in the ways of the Most High right now and dying. Or being cured from the sinful nature that dwells within us. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And it reads, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. It will be healthy to your body and nourishment to your bones." I looked up the word health in verse 8, and it gave you in your Hebrew concordance 7,500. And there's refuth, and it means a healing. But it comes from Rapha, which we read earlier, that's 7,495, and it's a healing, a cure. So, if we fear Yahweh, keep his laws, statutes, and judgment, we can be healthy. We can cure our body of the sin all the way down to the bone. We just read a scripture in regards to Elisha, where a dead man fell on his bones and was revived. His dead bones, his dead body gave life. Going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 34, I'm read verse 15 and 17. And Ecclesiasticus is in your apocryphal books. Chapter 34, verse 15 and 17. And it reads, "Blessed is the soul of him that fears the mighty one, to whom doth he look? And who is his strength? For the eyes of the mighty one are upon them that love him. He is their mighty protection and stay and strong stay and defense from heat and a cover from the sun at noon." A preservation from stumbling and a help from falling. He raises up the soul and enlightens the eyes. He giveth health, life, and blessing. Israel, understanding the power of acceptance of Yahushua. Understanding the acceptance of the law, statutes, and judgments. They help heal us. And it is Yahushua who is sending this spirit of healing to us so that we can be a good example of him in this world. And healing others and bringing others or giving others an opportunity to want to choose him, to be obedient. So Israel, as we close out this evening, I just ask everyone to just consider the scriptures that were given today and go over them and reflect and compare yourself and your unity with the Most High through Yahushua. See, we have to first heal ourselves. Heal ourselves. And in the process of us healing ourselves, we become an example to those who see us, who see the change and see how we are humbling ourselves to the Most High, how we are humbling ourselves to the Word, how we are humbling ourselves to the Spirit. For the more we humble ourselves, the more we take on those fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, that character of Yahushua, that character of the Word. And then we become like him, that living Word, a living testimony of the truth of the Word. Like we read, a couple of weeks ago in James, I'll show you my faith through my works. And what are the works? The works of the law, statutes, and judgment, and being obedient to them. So Israel and listening audience, when you hear that voice calling you, when you hear that knock on the door, if you accept, understand, or as we said in previous one, count the cost. But we also know that there's a great reward in acceptance. But you can't accept it based on what you think it should be. So, Israel, I'm going to close out with a prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we come into the Sabbath day, we thank thee for meeting with us on the Shabbat. We ask of thee to bring comfort to those who are sick, who are ailing. We ask of thee to those who are sick and ailing to cleave to Yahushua, cleave to the Word, and understand that you will be comforted. You will cure according to your faith in Yahushua, according to your faith in the Word. We ask of thee, O Father, to continue to open our minds to the wonders of your Word. Give us ear to hear. Give us strength to perform the duties of your Word. Give us the mouth to speak the truth of your Word. Give us the strength to stay on that righteous path, allowing our eyes to continue to stay focused on thy Son, Yahushua. We ask of thee, Father, to strengthen us in our conscious mind as well as our unconscious mind, standing on your word and truth. Standing on thy Son, that solid foundation. We thank thee, Father, once again for allowing us to come to your Sabbath day to give you honor and give you praise and to worship you. For you say you will meet with us and you will give us the instructions that we need so that we can continue to work diligently to fulfill your purpose. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Holy Power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Magnificent One. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel. Father, we thank thee in the name of thy Son, our Lord, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Israel, have a pleasant and peaceful slumber. Shalom.
I can't depend. All my life I've
Are y'all still there? Are y'all still there?